This podcast is sponsored by Marching Show Concepts and Sensor X Productions, found at msconcepts.com. What is your all-time favorite show by The Cadets? This is the second in a series of podcasts where we'll pick a drum corps and get a group of people together to talk about their all-time favorite show. On this podcast, John Bokenschutz of Tone Deaf Comics and one of the original hosts of this podcast is joined by Bill and Izzy to talk about their favorite shows.
There's moments like stuff the battery is playing. It's like, oh my gosh, like this is fantastic. This is selling the show so well. And like what the guard was doing, like they got into it. I love their costumes. I thought it was great. With those two sections especially sold the show.
Yeah, and there's just the simultaneous responsibilities of that show for the time.
Exactly, like, right.
Yeah, you're talking about the percussion. That, you know, I specifically remember one tenor feature where they're just flying across
yes.
towards the front of the field
yes.
and just playing. I can't imagine how many notes they're playing. And yeah, I just saw it for the time. The demand was crazy.
Like others, that's the first show that I saw live. So that's the show that I still compare a lot of other shows to, even to this day. You know, obviously the styles have changed and the instrumentation has changed. But to me, that's still just a groundbreaking show.
They could not get the ending of that show at all until I don't know how close to the end of the season, but they tried so many different endings.
Think you know what shows we're talking about? Find out if we discuss your favorite cadet show on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by Marching Show Concepts and Center X Productions, found at msconcepts.com. With over 30 years in the business, MSC and Center X have become a leader in the industry with over 650 original and arranged shows, including all grade levels and budgets in mind. Marching Show Concepts and Center X's creative team have hundreds of hours of collective experience and are there to help you succeed. Give them a call today at 800-356-4381 or visit them at www.msconcepts.com. Hey everybody, welcome to the Marching Roundtable podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This is Tim Hinton, your host, and on the line with me, our celebrity guest tonight, John Bokenschutz. How are you, John?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here. And also on the line, Bill Castillo. Bill, how are you?
Great, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And Izzy Delgado. Izzy, how are you?
Very good. And yourself?
I'm great, thank you. So we're going to be talking about the Cadets, our all-time favorite Cadets shows. Now, John, this whole thing is sort of your idea. You're always contacting me with, hey, here's another idea for a great podcast series or something you should do. So thank you for your idea, especially for the second half of this we're going to do. How are things going at Tone Deaf Comics?
Good. Really well. Just doing once a week, but that's what I can do right now just because there's so much on my plate.
Yeah, you've got your busy guy.
It's allowing me to dive in a little bit deeper on each one, so I'm enjoying it.
Fantastic. And everybody, of course, can find that still at tonedeafcomics.com, right?
Right.
Yeah, awesome. And I get the Marching Roundtable is one of your Patreon sponsors, and I love getting those too. So if anybody wants to check that out on Patreon, they can support you there, right?
Yeah, and it's much appreciated. That's what actually pays the bills. So, because there's, as you know, Tim, with like websites and stuff, there's so much like so many fees and just like that just build up.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate all the patrons supporting Tone Deaf that way.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to do that. So, Bill Castillo, you've been on some podcasts before, but in case anybody hasn't heard you, why don't you give us the quick rundown of where you are and what your connection is to the world of marching and drum corps.
I'm from St. Louis. I have taught some high school bands in the area. I do a lot of judging for different circuits, both indoor and outdoor band stuff. Do music engraving and recording for various composers of the marching arts.
Cool. And thank you, of course, for being one of our Judges Academy graduates and supporting us that way. And I know you've enjoyed that coursework a lot.
Absolutely. Someday, level two. Someday I'm going to be done.
Hopefully soon. All right. And Izzy Delgado, thank you. Izzy, you responded to the post where I put out about people that wanted to be a part of this. So thank you for doing that. Tell us where you are in the world and what your connection is to the world of marching.
Well, I'm from Old Bridge, New Jersey. I'm a drill designer. So I've been involved with some DCA cores over the years, the White Sabers and Fusion over the last 6 years or so. Finally getting it, taking a year off and designed for a couple of bands in the area and run a Winter Guard program with my wife in New Jersey. So keeping pretty busy.
Fantastic. And you said you'd marched with a few cores back in the day?
Yes, I marched in the Raiders, who are now an open class corps. They were Division III at the time, and also the Bushwhackers, a DCA corps.
Very cool. So thank you for being here and for responding to our request and being a part of this panel tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, cool. So we're going to talk about our all-time favorite show by the cadets and a corps that's been so famous, had so many great shows. This was tough, but I guess everybody came prepared with one.
This was.
Yeah, so who wants to go first? Anybody want to jump in? I guess, John, you're our celebrity guest. I'll make you go first. Is that okay with you?
You might want to have me go a little bit later.
Okay. All right. How about you, Izzy? You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first.
Okay. What's your show?
This is, like John said, this is really hard because there's so many great cadet shows. I'm a child of the 90s. That's really when I started getting into the cadets. And the first show that I ever saw is still the one that sticks on my mind in 93 cadets, in the springtime when the Kings go off to war. Mm. That whole Signor piece. That's just one that I guess it's the first cadet show I ever saw. And, just, it's one that I always gravitate to. It's any time that I'm sitting down writing and I kind of like, you know, I need to break out of a block, I'll pop in some DVDs. And that's one that I tend to gravitate towards a lot. I just thought it was just so exciting. It was, you know, a lot of breakneck speed drill, Mark Sylvester. I think that's the best Mark Sylvester show I've ever seen.
It's great.
In my opinion. Yeah. The color guard was fantastic. I thought they were so ahead of the time for everything else that was going on at the time. I don't know how they marched in Jackson, Mississippi in those full and that costume.
Yeah, no
that's
kidding.
Besides point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But I just thought it was just so exciting. It was just, you know, and it was just that season alone was such a great race between them and Star of Indiana. And everybody talks about the Star Show from that year, which is, you know, one of my favorite shows too. But, you know, that's just the one show that I always gravitate towards.
Very cool.
Yeah, this is one that's at the top of my list. It's not at the top of my list, but it's near the top. It's great. And it's one of the first cadet shows, or the first cadet show I saw as well, but on video. And I love it. That ballad is one of the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. That's a classic ballad.
Bill, you want to weigh in?
Definitely the drill for this.
And like everybody said, it's just it's hard to pick one, but I always go back to 87 Garfield with their Appalachian Spring show. I know it's easy to give that one just because of some of the scores that they received, but like others, that's the first show that I saw live. So that's the show that I still compare a lot of other shows to, even to this day. You know, obviously the styles have changed and the instrumentation has changed, but to me, that's still just a groundbreaking show.
Wow. So your choice is 87.
I'm going to go 87. Yep.
This is interesting.
I'm old, apparently.
So, John, both these guys have chosen the first cadet show they remember seeing live. That's significant to me.
That is, and I've said this whenever I bring up, like, my favorite shows are usually within the 90s, which is where, you know, the shows I know. So it's not surprising at all. These are both great shows in spring at the time when the Kings go off to war in Appalachian Spring. And they're two different styles, but this is what's interesting about these is that in the 90s, cadets started going towards concert band literature. And this is one of their best shows from that decade. And then you have the 80s, which has the more orchestral literature with Copeland and Bernstein. And of course, this, Appalachian Spring, is one of the top orchestral pieces, and this is a very memorable show for sure.
Yeah, well, I remember seeing, I was lucky enough to be at finals in Madison in 87, and that was just that whole decomposing, recomposing company front thing. That was so completely new. Like, I'd never seen anything like that ever.
Right.
Well, the fact, you know, they had the curtain call at the end of the show as they kind of, as the front ensemble played themselves off the field.
Right.
You know, with the one solo dancer remaining up front. You know, there was so much to take in with that show.
Right. Right. And in the recordings, when you listen to it, when they're heading off to, is it towards the corner?
Mm-hmm. And the back right field, yes.
The soloist, you can't even hear the soloist at the end of that show. Just because the crowd just goes bonkers. And they knew what they just watched was great.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, that's a fantastic show. And in my opinion, the best rendition of Appalachian Spring on the Field still.
I agree.
Wow. I agree too. Bill, do you want to weigh in on that?
I mean, obviously I agree. now, yeah, prior to seeing that show, I wasn't overly familiar with, you know, I was not that old at the time, early teens when they performed that. So I wasn't as educated about like the music of Copland as I've become since. So that show really made me go out and find the source music and listen to it and really appreciate it and really be able to see just, you know, how true to the original they stayed.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, within 12 minutes of music, obviously.
Yeah, but a lot of people have that story. That's one of the great things that Drum Corps has done for all of us is it's introduced us to literature. I mean, we've all gone out and studied and found and fallen in love with things that we heard on the field first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But more so,
one thing I noticed.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say one thing about that show is, you know, as Zingali was building throughout the 80s, all those championship shows, 83, 84, 85. I thought once he went to Star, his style changed a little bit. It got a lot more, you know, a lot more velocity built around. I thought 87 was extremely artistic, and I thought that was a culmination of 83 through 87 in terms of his work and that style and what he was doing at the time. I watched that, and to me, it's art, the way everything flows and connects, and it's just so seamless.
Yeah. Right. Because that was one of those shows that kept going.
Yes.
Yeah, it never stopped. Once the show started, it really never stopped.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I was sitting here thinking that when I think of that show, I typically think of The Drill because there were so many like really iconic, famous things. But then I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, every marching band played Appalachian Spring that same way for years and years and years, still to this day. So it's all sort of iconic, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's a pretty good show.
I think that one got to the point that that's on my list of don't ever do again shows for marching bands. You know, unless you can come up with some incredibly fresh rendition of it, just because thanks to cadets, it's been done and done and done and done.
Right, right.
Well, that's interesting, but to me, it always works, though. Don't you think it always works, Sean? Bands always sound great playing it. Well, not always.
I've seen some pretty bad performances of it over the years.
You know, this is the amazing part about this piece is that, as you said, Tim, there's bands that sound great playing it. It's tough. Like those intervals in the second movement of it, holy moly, it's like octave jumps. And it's, and they were playing it. Am I wrong about that? Cadets played those octave jumps? Because I've heard versions, I could be wrong. I think I heard Boston do a version where they took out the interval leap in it. I don't know for 100% sure on that, but they kept it in, I'm pretty sure, for cadets.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
I think when bands hear, or, you know, directors hear it and want to do it for their bands, I think it's deceivably difficult, where it sounds like it's pretty easy when played well.
Mm. Right.
But it's obviously not. Once you get it in front of you,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right, exactly.
Well, and I want to say, going back to Izzy's pick with In the Spring, in 93, I feel like that core was like incredibly proficient. Like they were so talented because, I mean, look at that was a great year for Drum Corps, and there were a lot of really, really fantastic shows. I mean, Phantom Regiment had a fantastic show that year. And so I think when I think back on that show, I think back, well, kind of like I do with 87, like the core, both those Drum Corps were so talented and performed at such a high level, just staggering, really. So, I mean, I think it's why people talk about those shows.
Right. And I think for 93 cadets, like, you know, the heart of that music is the brass and what the brass is playing. But I think what really sold the show was the color guard and the percussion. Like, there's moments, like, not being a percussion guy, there's moments like Stuff the Battery is playing. It's like, oh my gosh, like, this is fantastic. This is selling the show so well. And like what the guard was doing, like, they got into it. I love their costumes. I thought it was great. With those two sections especially sold the show.
Yeah, and there's just the simultaneous responsibilities of that show for the time.
Exactly, like, right.
Yeah, you're talking about the percussion. That, you know, I specifically remember one tenor feature where they're just flying across towards the front of the field and just playing. I can't imagine how many notes they're playing. And yeah, I just saw for the time the demand was crazy.
Yeah. And I remember a section, I want to say in the second piece, where the battery's in a straight line across the field and the brass is like doing, a wave through them or something. The tempo has gone to like half feel and then it kicks right back in. That moment, I love that moment every time.
That's one of my favorite moments of that show. It was fantastic.
Yeah. They had a lot of really good moments in that show.
Yeah.
Okay. So John, we've made it all this time without you mentioning your show. So why don't you lay it on us?
All right. So this has been my favorite cadet show for 22 years. And I know some people are going to consider it the hidden gem and I didn't want to use it for both, but I just really love the 1995 An American Quintet show. And I know a lot of people hate the props in that show and it's probably not as memorable as other cadet shows, but I just love it. Every time I listen to it, I go back and I'm like, is this really my favorite show? I listen to it, I'm like, yes, this is my favorite show. I just really, really like it a lot.
The props in that, though, I always thought were very subtle.
I liked them a lot, actually.
A couple benches, a couple light posts.
You know, there was a focal point in the center field, and I know that was a problem for like drill design and perhaps some other visual stuff. But I don't know. I just really liked it.
I think that was Jeff Sathek's first year with them, actually. Well, at least the first year of writing the drill predominantly.
Okay. That must have been fun. Hey, you want to write the drill? Right around this.
Around all this, yes.
So, John, remind us what the music was.
Yeah, that's actually...
This was John Williams' stuff. I don't know how you pronounce the movie. The Rivers?
The Rivers.
The Rivers, and then it had Born on the 4th of July as the ballad. It had music from Far and Away, and then Swing, Swing, Swing was the fourth piece, which was...
okay, this is the show I thought you were talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Those were the four movies that it was from.
So you guys are talking about the props not being obtrusive, but they dragged out those giant boxes to dance on, remember?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I thought that was obtrusive.
Yeah. You thought that was obtrusive?
Yeah.
I liked it. That section, like the fourth section of the show, the Swing, 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 I felt that really pulled the audience in. And I could be wrong about that. But start of, I think it kind of lent, like when they were designing the 2000 show, they're probably like, remember what we did in 95? Let's try and top that. In a way, it is what I'm thinking. It's what happened there. But I love the ballad of this piece or of the show. It from Born on the 4th of July. It's just a great melody. The impact is more subdued, than you would think from a cadet's, ballad hit up to that point. It's great. I love it.
Now, was that the first real big, prop-based show where there was that much stuff going on the field, I guess is the best way to say.
I think for them, yeah, because the next year was the American West show where they had I don't know how many big panels around the back.
Right, I remember. Where, yeah.
Yeah, those 2 years, they definitely were known for their props or having props on the field. So,
also the cool year of the Chinese fire drill for the bass drums.
Right, yeah.
During this during the swing section.
Yeah, and then I think Madison just did something similar to that 2 or 3 years ago, 2 years maybe. And, I mean, it's been quite some time, so some people might not even remember that Cadets did it in 95. But, yeah, like when that hit, the crowd lost it again, you know?
Was that the second year that they had all the drum sets, too, or did they only do that in 94?
They did. I wouldn't believe it was the second year, because I know they did it for West Side Story during Cool, and I want to say they did have a lot of drum sets again.
To bring in Swing, Swing, Swing.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
I could be wrong about that, though, but I believe they did have a lot of drum sets. Tim, what's your thoughts on this show?
Well, I've probably played my hand. This is one of my least favorite Cadet show ever. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really don't like it compared to other cadet shows. So,
yeah,
it's just everybody's personal preference. You know, I just don't love it. I felt like it was pandering with the patriotism. And okay. That makes me sound horribly cynical. But it didn't work for me. But, you know, obviously the crowd loved it. And you love it. And yeah. That's all that matters. Everybody's got their thing.
Yeah. And this was actually, because I was on tour with Bluecoats during this time in 95. And this, I remember watching the show evolve throughout the summer. Like, the ballad hit was huge at first. And then they took it way down. I believe. I could be wrong about that. And then they kind of massaged it a little bit. But the end, they could not, if memory serves me right, they could not get the ending of that show at all until, I don't know how close to the end of the season, but they tried so many different endings. They tried one where they marched off to the corner of a field in a block with soft music, and they left like a quintet or so of performers playing. And when they took off their shakos, they were all girls performing or all women performing. That was one of the endings they tried, and it was a down ending. They tried so many different things, but I feel like what they ended up with hit the spot. Like, I thought it was perfect.
Cool. Well, I mean, that's the thing about drum corps. Everybody has things they like and things they don't like, and that's why these conversations hopefully are going to be really interesting.
I do recommend, if nobody's heard the show, or if anybody has not heard the show, to go listen to it and listen to the development of that first piece, just the way it starts with the melody, adds on the different sections, brings it up to the first hit, I think is incredible. It's almost textbook. I like it.
Cool. Well, and I'm not officially going to weigh in. I'm going to tell you my favorite Cadets all time is 83, which was Rocky Point Holiday and Bernstein's Mass. And we don't need to get into a long discussion about it, but I was on tour teaching the regiment that summer and saw that show over and over and over and over. That's probably why it still stuck with me, because I saw it was one of the early Cadet shows for me. And I saw it so many times up close.
It's great.
But I love that, and I'm actually really excited that this summer the Cadets are doing Bernstein's Mass again, and, you know, fingers crossed that it's awesome. I'm sure it will
Right.
Yeah. So, Bill or Izzy, do you guys either one know the 83 show? Are you familiar with that one?
I have seen it on video. I never saw it live. I was not very old when that show was performed.
Thank you.
But I have seen it.
You don't want to know how old I was.
I have seen it, and, you know, looking back, I do enjoy that show. You know, it was cool. Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have most of the finals videos going back a long way. So seeing, you know, their development from, you know, like 1980 to, you know, even up through 87 through the championship run.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool to see the evolution of those shows.
Yeah.
The core was just amazing. And it so transformed the whole activity that year, actually the year before. But okay, so final thoughts. Busy, I'll start with you. Any final thoughts about this conversation or your show or anything you want to say before we go?
It was so difficult of all the cores to, you know, to choose from. This one was so difficult. And there's a lot of their top shows, a lot of their championship shows that just don't get talked about a lot. I thought 93 was one of those that I think it's overshadowed by the Star show that year, even though it ended up beating the show. But there's just so many great shows to choose from, especially from that era, from that early 90s
time. So it was just really difficult, but it was, you know, I thought it was a lot of groundbreaking things. And the 93 show to me was the one that sticks out as being my first experience watching the cadets.
Yeah.
And it was just exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bill, final thoughts from you.
You know, I'll give a shout out also to 94 with their West Side Story show and
yes,
the more modern interpretation of the musical. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of subtlety on there of them layering multiple tempos. You know, you've got the winds during the mambo section fading out, and you got, you know, the next wind section coming in with a totally unrelated tempo, or when they introduce the battery after the ballad's still finishing off at a nice slow tempo, and you got the battery coming in, you know, kicking it up, and just everything just worked on that show.
Yeah, I love the Cha-Cha Maria version they did there. Just great.
Cool. John, final thoughts, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those cores I've said before on the podcast. Cadets is my favorite core. There's just so many great shows to pick from that we left off at least like 12 great classic shows. Like, you have the 2000 show, you have the 84 West Side Story show, you have 90 Bernstein Celebration. You have just so many great shows, just too many to pick from.
Well, that's what makes this fun, is we had to choose, and that was tough. But it's a lot of fun. So, guys, thank you so much for talking to me. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
If you'd like to be a part of a panel to discuss your favorite show by a drum corps, send an email to me, Tim, at marchingroundtable.com, and tell me which corps you'd like to talk about and why. We plan to talk about as many corps as possible in this podcast series. And join the discussion about the cadets and our favorite shows on Facebook. Just search on Facebook for the Marching Roundtable and join the discussion. Also look for us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Find other podcasts about the cadets and DCI in our podcast archives at our website at marchingroundtable.com. You can search there by category or just put a word into the search bar. And while at the website, sign up for a free VIP membership. Then you'll receive our bi-weekly newsletter and be notified about upcoming podcast releases and guests. You can also find links there to valuable resources and to the coursework at the Judges Academy. We also encourage you to visit marchingmentor.com, where you can ask a question or get help, and where those with experience can give back to the activity. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Marching Show Concepts and Center X Productions, found at msconcepts.com. Thanks to John, Bill, and Izzy for joining us on this podcast. And thanks to you for listening.